Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good afternoon and welcome to Repo Rethink Politics, where the crew gets together and talk about the politics of the day, the week, and now it seems like for the rest of the year.
Right.
And I got my co-hosts here. CJ, what's going on, Charge?
What's up, y'all? CJ in this day.
Who was that?
I know.
I had to make it cool. You know? I had to bring out some of the cool. You know, we got the pandemic, but still got to keep the swag up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And out of Charlotte, my man E, what's going on, brother?
Hey, so what is this, quarantine day? Day 102 or something like that.
I don't know. We got to count that list. Baby. Yeah, we got to start keeping count.
Quarantine reality.
Just living the quarantine life.
Q time.
Non-essential, you know.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, so we wanted to get back because there's so much shit still going down. And some of it that's affecting us and some of it that's potentially going to affect going forward. But the first thing I wanted to throw out is a big issue that they were showing, and it should be no surprise, but how COVID is affecting more African Americans more so than any other race. So did you see the stats on that?
No, I didn't see the stats, but I heard about it. I was surprised. Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised because the medical industry denies us so much services anyway. And a lot of the areas that we live is prone to being asthmatic. The type of food we eat keeps us like obese. So all of that and the medical industry isn't really servicing us on a regular basis. And now they have to do it. We're caught up. So our immune system is like totally fucked up. And this was prior to this going on. So this is just, exasperated this shit for, you know, African-Americans. And they've said a lot of even the Hispanics on that end, too. So that's what that shit looking like. It's just craziness.
Yeah, well, I don't know the statistics on it, but I know there's a misconception that it's like a biological difference.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? That like we're more affected because as Black people, I don't know, we have some physical biological deficiencies.
That bell curve bullshit.
But no, like this is just systematic. Like this is based off of how our healthcare system is working.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I don't know the statistics though. I don't know if Chaz or Mike, you know, the numbers, but that's crazy. I didn't realize it was like mostly us by like such a margin. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mainly because we're not like giving our stats in the population. So how are we only X many in the population? But you know, It's sad, man.
A lot of the hot spots they were showing, like, we're 30% of the population, but 70% of the people that's dying or contracting. Like, I think it was one in Michigan. They had one in Louisiana.
Let's break it down, though. So
go ahead.
Let's talk about essential versus non-essential and who can work from home versus not work from home.
Right.
And E, you can relate to this being, like, African-American male, white-collar worker. Like for me, when I walk into an office building, you know, who's going to be security? Probably African-American. Who's going to be valet?
Mm-hmm.
African-American. Who's going to be, if you have a kitchen or like a cafeteria inside an office building, it's probably either going to be Latin or, you know, African-American. So
yeah. Janitor.
Exactly. So the unfortunate reality is, you know, a lot of Black people are still working these kind of jobs. So when all this broke out, it's like, okay, who has to still be in the public?
Right.
So for us, we have the option to work from home because we have those kind of roles where we can. But for them, it's like, it's twofold, because if they get sick and you're out here just delivering stuff for Amazon or, you know, whatever, your healthcare coverage is probably looking janky. And, you know, so by the time you do get to a hospital, you know, who knows? So,
yeah,
I, you know.
I'd be curious to know what the percentages are overall, just in terms of the titles or the kind of positions that, you know, African Americans have and Hispanics. And I mean, to go even further, I mean, I don't know about Asians and all that. I would assume they, a lot of them do pretty well in terms of the numbers, but just curious about that. But it's, what's really happening though, and the whole point of this is that this whole COVID-19 is shining a light on the real problem of this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
which one? What are you talking about? There's I lost count.
I mean, it's just the racial divide in terms of everything. Like, you know, the healthcare system. That's mainly what we're talking about. But I mean, there's the issues when it comes to the workforce and unfair, hiring systems. I mean,
check this out.
I don't know.
Regional? I don't want to shift gears too much because on one hand, yes, there's two. So kind of like what you're saying, the divide. And Mike, I don't want to get too far off the subject on, you know, who's getting sick and who's not. But let's just say for the like college students or, you know, young people, it's like I still feel like, you know, a lot of people just aren't hungry. So, and again, I'm separating the folks who are working these frontline jobs and have to be out and about. But like you look at all the Netflix and all the binging, you know, it's like who's out here, who's using this time to study and grind? So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to work this job and put, you know, if I can find a way to get out the situation, then cool.
Right.
So, you know, and again, I'm mainly talking about probably our generation more so. But I don't know, man. I just think when you talk about all these issues, yes, it's systemic. But on the other hand, it's like, well, at what point do we look inward and try to get some hustle and, you know, try to put us, you know, for those who are in those situations? I mean, that's what I did. You know, I had to hustle for a few years to be in this position.
But so again, we're looking at where the opportunities and the education level is. So if you don't have that education level and you don't have the opportunities.
But I'm saying you can get it, bro. Like,
no.
There's Coursera.
Everyone doesn't have that motivating factor because of the education factor. See, you're still assuming most people are smart enough to get that grind on. Some of them don't even know how to do it, so they settle for whatever's available. And you living in an environment, and I give you a prime example, what's going on in South Dakota with that meatpacking plant. They talking about that, and so I got deeper into that. And the people that actually work there are more immigrants. So they're from the Congo. They're from San Salvador. They're from a lot of they're immigrants into that area. And we're saying, yo, you need to get a better job than that. But they were saying because of the place that they live in, the money that they make there, they support like six people in their family. They're able to get homes. They're able to get all of that. So where we said something should be better, their environment and the place that they're in is taking care of whatever they need. Their kids are getting homes. They're getting their education. But that pay and the brutal work, actually, of working in a slaughter farm is just fucking ridiculous. So again, if you don't have the education and all you do is how do I support my family, you just say now my kids got to get that portion. So it seems as though those people are trying to at least set up the legacy portion to say, well, get my kids out of this goddamn town, because what else is in South Dakota?
That might be true. It's just, you know, and again, I'm mainly going back to E's point of, you know, just looking at like, you know, looking at the data on, you know, black people, African Americans, dying at a much greater rate, all these issues. I'm like, man, because it's kind of like what we were talking about last time. Like, you know, where do you start? You know, how do you influence change? And, you know, sometimes I'm at a loss just because it's just, you know, there's so many points and. It's kind of like, you know, do you just start block by block? It's like, you know, let me just donate stuff to this local neighborhood, local school. Because, you know, I think that data does kind of highlight the issues. Like, we have too many of our people who are just working these jobs. And it's like, you know, you can't rise out of poverty, you know, as
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. So, but what's the solution? I don't know.
But E, you brought up E. Go ahead, D.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of complicated because, like, this isn't a new conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know about this issue in this country, you know, with Black America. So it's not even just motivation. It's systematic. It's, you know, I mean, hell, there's even some people that I've known growing up that had the motivation to grind, failed, and then they're kind of stuck in, you know, wherever they are, you know.
I'm saying, how did they fail? Mindset. How did they fail?
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, some people, you know, literally, you know, you try to work hard and then you don't get the job. You know, you try to work hard and then you fail because maybe you don't fit within a certain kind of system, or maybe you don't do well in school. You know, like I knew some people that went to the college I went to and then dropped out because they just don't do school. You know what I'm saying? And then you try to get a job and then you don't have that degree. You know, I know some of it is self-inflicted, I guess, yeah. But I mean, it's complicated, but it's not the same when you know, the white man does the same thing, doesn't have a degree, or doesn't take the right classes or get the right certifications or just has the right training. You know, it's different. It's harder for us, you know, and I mean, I feel like we're getting a little bit off topic too, because, you know, I know we're trying to talk mostly about the COVID-19 and everything, but.
But this made it more clear. So, saying now, COVID-19 actually made it clearer so more people can see, wait a minute, why are these people just doing these jobs? Well,
I don't know if it's here clear. It is. That's my thing. I don't know if they get it. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to these Trump people, you know, at least I try to. I don't know. I think they feel like it's because, you know, what they think. They think we're like lazy and. You know, we don't go to the hospital and things like that. But we don't.
A lot of times,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But the jobs that we have, we don't have healthcare coverage. So yeah. It's not that we just don't have it. It's because the jobs that we have, we don't have coverage for that shit. So that's the one thing. The other thing is we have a stigma in our mind. Every time we went there and people start testing us, you know what? They gave us syphilis. They gave us all these testing shit. You know, they put crack in our community. So there's a known paranoia to us going to any type of medical service. So that's embedded. So with this COVID-19, we're looking at it like, damn, what the fuck is really going on? Mm-hmm. And at first, remember, we was in a relaxed mode because they said, you know, look like Black people aren't getting it. Yeah, but we were.
And then
took a while.
And we can't forget about the fact that depending on where you live, we know that at least for most major cities, like everything has gotten more expensive. So you're more than likely probably going to have, you know, 1.5 to two generations in the household. So you're going to have like the young person who may go out and work and then, you know.
Oh, they're bringing it home.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So that the mother, the grandmother, what have you, could potentially get it that way.
And then. No, that's true. And another part that's actually being overlooked is a lot of these testing centers the drive-through, and you have to drive through in order to get tested. But some of these places, these people don't have cars. You know what I'm saying?
So and what do you do?
Wow.
Yeah, it's like why am I not able to test it just because I don't have a car? You know. That by itself is a problem.
And they limit in mass transit because you're seeing even transit workers are catching it and dying.
Well, not even that. Transit is, well, I can only speak locally, is being reduced because less people are riding it. And obviously, people still need it. But, you know, depending on where you live, you know, if they say, hey, you know, every 2 hours, it's like every 2 hours, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
can I get to work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so like I'm just like, I guess for me anyway, because it has been the reality, it is the reality, why not take this time, if you have access to internet or whatever, study your ass off, bust your ass, try to, you know, figure out some skill sets and this or that, and you know,
Chaz, you know, but some people don't have access to the internet.
But you got a phone. You have apps. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, try to... You got pencil and paper and a phone.
Okay.
That gives you access to a lot of shit, in my opinion.
So I think you're taking for granted that people are smarter than that they are. Some people don't have that education to even know that. Some people only know their smartphone is as smart as getting on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and
TikTok.
That's it. I'm about to say, that's what they know. All these extra apps and shit, they don't give a damn about that. And
I would say motivation, by the way. Yeah. That's probably the biggest thing.
But what is motivate? Like, okay, what's the relationship between motivation and what we're seeing in COVID?
Well, that's a result, right? So you're talking about people in the positions that they are, you know, due to the decisions that they make, you know, or how their life circumstances are.
Because I'm just like, well, what's the relationship between the systemic oppression and my motivation?
Your motivation. Well, I mean, so motivation drives all your decisions in life.
Yep.
I mean, let's be real, you know, so that's from the soul, I would think, or at least from whatever energy you come from, whether it's family or, I mean, some people are taught how to be motivated. Some are self-motivated. Some, you know, you're motivated to move out of your neighborhood, or some are motivated because they want to be bigger than what they are right now. You know, some people motivated because they see P. Diddy back in the day and they want to be there. I don't, you know, it's hard to define, you know, what motivation is to some people or how to be motivated. It's the question is, you know, what motivates them? I mean, some people wanted to be, I mean, I hate to do this. Some people want to be, you know, NFL players. Let's just be real, right? Because that's what it is in Black America. And, you know, you play
depending
a sport.
Depending on where you live, yeah. Depending on where you live.
I don't know. I feel like it's everywhere. I mean,
nationwide? I don't know, bro. Like, and I feel like in the Northeast is a different vibe.
So it may not be football, but it may be basketball. In the Northeast, it's basketball. Sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah, professional sports, what I should say. Yeah. Right.
So if you're looking at that, that's driven from there. But I want to hold on to that motivation factor. And I hold on to that statement because I think that's the strongest. So the motivation factor that you're probably seeing lately is all of these people protesting in these states saying we need to go back to work. So that motivation factor is not just because they want to go to work, but they want to protest that someone is going against what Trump is doing. So that motivates them. They're being paid for that. There's some that's not being paid, but there's some people that says these people just need to go to work and I want them to go to work. And you got other people down in Florida that says, shit, I want to go to the beach. And they was like, look, we can make money at the beach. So I'm opening the beach up. What are those motivating factors? Everything is driven off motivation. And some people are ignorant with their motivation. Because it's not clear, and it's an education factor that you have to say what truly motivates you.
All right, so Mike, let's break that down because I really want to get into the Trump. I don't want to call them Trump. Let's not call them Trump supporters just yet. Let's just label them protesting the shutdown. How about that? I don't know if it's like one-on-one relationship just yet, quote unquote. You know, tongue in cheek, but so. If you're, let's define who these people are, or who do you think is the type of person to say, I think we're overreacting. I think we need to open things up and, you know, we need to get our economy back working again. Who is this person and what's motivating them?
Fox viewers.
You think so? Is that simple?
It's just that simple.
No, it's more than that.
Yeah. I feel like it's more variables.
Go ahead. So what variables do you see? So E, you jumped in.
I think there's a lot of young kids that feel that way.
No, I'm talking about the protesters.
But they're not out here protesting. Though.
They're not out there protesting.
I mean, all right, you're talking about the people on TV that are getting pictures taken on, you know, talking. Protesters are also, I guess that
okay,
would
be. Okay, define protesters. Right. What's a protester?
All right, I mean, there's criticism out there, what people say. All right. Well, the protest is on TV. Yeah, you're right. Those are a lot of those look like they seem like Fox Fox News.
They have the profile.
They fucking are.
You know, right winging kind of folk. So, I mean, yeah, sure. That, you know, but I also think there's a lot of a younger crowd that that's kind of like pissed off because, you know, some of them actually want to go to the beach, like straight up, you know, and they have this illusion that nothing's going to affect them. It's the same stuff as before, that they're young and it doesn't really affect them. Like the I'm talking about the actual COVID-19. So, I mean, but they're not protesting, though. That's the thing. So that kind of kills my argument. But
in a way, I don't want to veer too far off, but they actually are, because if you have the conversation with them, they're going to say, look, there's nobody in our town with that shit. So why can't we just go there? Because my boy is good. And, you know, my girl, you know, I've seen her every day. We go hang out every day. That's not a problem.
So here's the other part, though. At least in Atlanta, or, you know, certain parts. So about 2 weeks ago, the governor did his emergency shelter and home thing. Mm-hmm. So the governor's thing, we already had this, the mayor of Atlanta do her order. So this kind of overrode everything. So it was like, you know what, let's just see what happens. And basically, nothing changed. In fact, people have gotten bolder. Like, I mean, it's kind of like everyone's outside. Mm-hmm. Bro, the basketball court around the corner was clearly 10 or more. Like, it was hooping. It was like, okay. Like, it's a weird vibe of things. If it's open, people are patronizing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I can see how some people are like, all right, well, what's the point?
But what's the impact? See, so no one sees the impact. And the thing is, the impact of getting rid of the virus group, I forget the name, but when they had the pandemic group and they said, well, just get rid of them. So the impact of just getting rid of them caused this to happen as well. So the impact of just ignoring that shit, we don't know what's going to go down the line. Because we haven't done enough testing to say, you know what, down in Decatur, that's the least amount of people that have it. So in a way, they're okay. But guess what? Up here in Gwinnett, this shit is skyrocketing. We don't know that. Because if I come down to see you and I have it, I just expose your community.
But no, if you're protesting this, you're not thinking about the idea of how, you know, flu-like diseases and viruses can, circle back during flu season and, you know, you're thinking of like what's in front of you. So
it's the physical enemy. So these people look for the physical enemy because that's what Trump looks at, someone that they can blame. So I'm blaming the governor. I'm blaming all these people because the guy that's down the street that opens my bar is like, man, I can open up. Everybody I know is okay. So they're defending that dumb shit. And see, and this is what's crazy. Those people that, and if you watch closely, because I looked at different photos just to see.
Let's pause. Because I feel like Mike is going low-key crazy.
Yeah.
Like you're at home becoming that guy. And do you have like the board with like the pictures in it and the string going like connecting all the dots? Are you becoming that guy?
No, I got a PowerPoint and a...
Oh.
Nah, he's like, I got something better than that.
So I see a bigger picture with this, and that's what I'm worried about. I don't see it. Oh, this is just so crazy. Oh, it's gonna. I see it long term that our whole society is changing, and people aren't mentally ready for that shit.
So I saw an article about Wuhan. So in Wuhan, China, where a lot of this broke out. I guess it originated from, rather. Things are quote unquote back to normal, but you know, and again, this is China, so there are cultural differences in terms of how people are monitored and how they influence the behavior and all that. But anecdotally, people are going out to restaurants.
Yeah.
So before there was like a million restaurants, and people were were doing their thing, but now it's like, are they just like permanent? How long will that last? Will it come back? And I think kind of keeping our eye on that will influence potentially what we see over here.
Yeah, and I think that's where the conversation needs to move to, is what to expect as we move forward. Because, we keep hearing about Trump, about how he wants to push to reopening the government. He keeps saying that, but he doesn't have the authority to even do that. So it's kind of weird that he's even saying that in the first place, but because it's up to the governors and all. But at the same time, I think the issue is that he keeps, not even him, it's the country keeps talking about ways of opening up and, you know, whether it's restaurants, you know, trying to start games again. But it's just, I don't think there's a lot of like critical thinking happening right now. Because the only reason why the cases are going down is because these stores and shops and non-essentials are closed.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't, that just doesn't make sense. It's like our education system, it must be a problem because people don't understand if you open everything up, the cases are going to go up. We're going to hit like six figures in terms of deaths.
But E, the word is correlation. And I don't think they know how to correlate this equals this, which means if this is going well, you can correlate and say this helped this not to happen. But the bottom line is testing. If you test in regions, you can identify where it's at and where it's going. So they had this one thing earlier, a couple of weeks ago. They said, go where the puck is going. So if you're thinking about hockey, go where the puck is going. Don't go where it is right now. Go where it's going. So you identified that it's right here. But if you think it's going this way, start testing right there to isolate it and push it back. But if you don't do that and you're just dealing with this, it's already spreading beyond where you're looking at right now. And
we can't do that. Now it's already spreading. I mean, we should have did that when it started coming up in New York and then when it popped up in Washington State. We're way past that now. Like, there's somebody in South Dakota that's sitting with it right now that's going to make it worse.
Clearly. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, I've kind of hit the stage of, the shift to me personally, I'm kind of like, I can't really influence anything outside of myself. So mental state is, let me just make sure, you know, we have everything over here.
Yeah.
I do my little running. I got to run at night because, like I said, it's crowded during the daytime. Like, everyone has the same clock now. Mm-hmm. So the new rush hour is during lunch. So everyone on their lunch break tries to run errands. And then after work. So about after 5 or, you know, around 6, all the trails and everything, like, you know, it's packed. So this is like, we're in a weird time. And I just for me, going back to my earlier point, just speaking for myself, I can't in good conscience just sit here and be like, okay, I'm going to, you know, consume all this TV. I'm going to play, you know, play video games all day. Like, I'm going to get high all the time. Like, I got to grind. I'd rather enroll in some sort of online thing for free, try it. And you know what? I couldn't get through it, but I'm going to make the attempt. You know what I mean? Like, what good is this time to not try to improve it? Like, okay, what's the silver lining for all of this if you can't take time to improve yourself?
Well, there isn't any unless you want to improve in
particular. Motivation.
Because if you didn't have that motivation before this happened, then you're not going to have it when there's nothing to do, because you're just going to settle for what you just said. Right. Hey, look, I'm going to binge everything on fucking Netflix. When I'm done with Netflix, I'm going to go to Hulu. When I'm done with Hulu, I'm going to go to Amazon. That's Ozark. The mentality. Ozark, I already saw that. But to your point, what you're doing, you know, in reality, Chaz, is contributing to the whole. Because if you're conscious of not spreading or exposing yourself, that's what so many people need to do so it won't spread. So even though you're like, man, I got to do me, you're actually doing more than just you, because you're contributing that makes sure you're not being exposed.
So just a personal anecdote, you know, I'm basically like, I play tech support here and there for folks. So my grandma had issues, you know, she's trying to do like Zoom meetings and stuff. So I had to go to her place and went through my gloves and all that. I didn't have a mask, but, you know, she basically would set the computer out and her phone outside. And she would call me from her home phone. And we just kind of did it like that. So, you know what I mean? Like, those are the kind of ways where I feel like, you know, you can still impact, you know, your loved ones and make sure, you know, my thing is productivity. Like, that's really productive. Big for me personally. If you can't tell already. Yeah. I just, and I get it. Like, It's chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. This is such a great time to chill. Like, there's plenty of times where, bro, I'm not commuting, but I still wake up late sometimes because I just stay up late for whatever reason. Yeah. I'm like, damn, overslept. Ha ha. So, you know, like, trust me, I'm not out here saying I'm
that's know, that telework life.
I know. Yeah, yeah, right. Just roll out of bed and get to it. But I'm not saying I'm productivity, you know, I'm the definition of it, but I am saying, like, given the fact that, I mean, I'm not a business owner, I'm not a politician. There's so many things that I'm not, where I'm not a medical professional, where I can't influence anything outside of myself. The best thing I can really do is make sure I influence myself to make sure I'm taking, you know, because the thing is, so many of us be like, man, if I could only, you know, and then this happens, like, okay, if I could only work from home, if I could only do this. And obviously it's not the best circumstance, but again, because we're in it, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you seen this on Twitter, or people be like, man, all the times I told myself if only I had time to finish these projects, and people still end up just bullshitting, watching TV.
It's all mental, right?
So E, you know, you work from home anyway, but your difference is really, you know, family. And is there any other changes that you see that's affecting just your life right now?
I mean, yeah. Okay, so, I mean, I have to kind of think about that because the family aspect kind of changes everything.
Right, right.
I think if anything, it's the kids being at home while I'm working. That it's just I'm not productive as much as I would be if they were at school, you know. Right. And there's nobody home, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just not as productive. That's honestly like the top, like, main thing that's like the difference. But everything else, I mean,
it's typical, right?
I want to say honestly everything else is pretty much the same that everyone else is dealing with, right? Like, just groceries and you know, just spending time with family, trying not to go out to too many places. But you know, I don't know, it's hard for me to talk about it because it's like I've been living that life for years,
right?
Somebody else, like, I was talking to my mother-in-law, or at least listening in, she has never ever worked from home. I mean, you know, she's like mid-60s, and she just doesn't understand the idea. Like, she kept calling her boss and trying to check in, and then, you know, her daughters, you know, my wife was trying to tell her, you know, hey, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Just wake up on your own time and then work. Like, you don't have to check in. It's not even a, what are you doing? Like, you're making it work, you know, making it hard on yourself. You know, some people just don't understand that idea of working from home. So, I think it just fits certain personalities, certain mindsets differently.
I would say that. Yeah, I would agree.
It's just different. So I'm going to give you the motivating factor with me, Chaz, because you're making a good point of saying, so what are you going to do? Just sit around and do whatever. So with me, I reached out and I started joining some regional meetings that our company already has. So I started joining them to give input, to motivate my mind, to be prepared. So if we do come back within weeks, I'm already prepared to just jump into some things that
That's twofold. It introduces something new for you to work on. So it keeps you engaged, keeps you challenged, and it gives you you're connecting with more people internally. So.
But it took me 2 weeks because 2 weeks I was just chilling. But the point is, damn, that's what you're going to do. Just sit around and just, you know,
like, don't look back and regret this moment in history. Right. Where exactly. It's just like,
so what was your contribution? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, okay.
To yourself. Like, to yourself.
Because we're not medical professionals. I can't go to a hospital. What am I going to do? You know?
I mean, you can.
Well, you know, I can take the trash out, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
you can.
You know,
or wipe down the walls.
Oh, you know what? That's true. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what volunteer options are available. For like the non-professionals, but I'm saying at the very least, just don't look back at this moment and just be like,
man, I wasted
get your cooking skills up. Like, motherfuckers still going to pick up food all the time. Like, first of all, you know what pisses me off? Real talk.
Uh-oh.
Motherfuckers eating Wendy's right now. And it's like, you got no kids in the car. Grown ass man eating Wendy's? Motherfucker, like, get some ground beef and cook. You like, motherfucker, like.
I mean, some people don't like cooking.
Nah, fuck that. Yeah. Eating Wendy's during a pandemic? Fuck out of here. Nah.
Chef Chaz.
Nah.
Nah. Shout out to Wendy's.
Nah, bruh.
Yeah, Burger King, maybe.
McDonald's. This is like, and McDonald's got the nerve to close early now.
Yeah, because they're like, yeah, man, we're not going to feed y'all. Good. Go home and fuck.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Just close. Get out of my neighborhood.
Get out of my neighborhood.
That's just, awesome. I don't know, man.
See how bougie y'all sound right now? I mean, y'all was getting on me last time.
I know. Now you hearing it right here, right?
Wendy's? McDonald's?
Jesus. Bro, so, if you just do the math, you buy some ground beef for X, whatever it costs a pound.
Right.
And go to the store, buy some hamburger buns. Like, nothing.
I've been grilling. I know what you're talking about. When my wife went to the grocery store, I was like, yo, just get some burgers. I'll put some on the grill.
And you know what I'm saying? You know, and it's like, again, let me add the caveat. It depends on your job and depends on your finances. But if you have the time, I'm like,
man, we got stimulus checks. What are you talking about?
Oh, so great segue. Great segue. So when we get back, I want to get into the stimulus check. You know, did you get yours? And circumstances behind that, and how we're going to look at it for those who really need it and for those who didn't need it. So see you next time on Repo Rethink.